Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
7:44, 16 till 8. Talking to Stephanie Hilferty now on WWL, Louisiana State Representative. Good morning, Representative. How are you?
Good morning. Doing well. How are you doing?
I would imagine you are experiencing the thousand-yard stare when it comes to legislative session, as are a lot of your fellow legislators.
Yep. We wrap up on Thursday.
Tell me about your bill with corporal punishment, and we'll get to some other things that you guys and ladies have looked at. Let me just leave it at y'all have looked at.
Sure. Yeah, this has been kind of a multi-year effort on my part. At first, I was looking to outright get rid of corporal punishment in schools, and listening to some of my colleagues, and that's certainly a part of the process. There were some folks in the legislature that had concerns about getting rid of it entirely. And so what I wanted to make sure of, and this is in light of some incidents that happened in Rapides Parish, so the Alexandria area, there was a child that went to school. The mom, they were new to the school system. The mom didn't know they had corporal punishment there. He came home from school pretty severely beaten from his waist down to his ankle. So not, you know, if any of your listeners are out there thinking of, you know, well, a spanking or something, you know, of a more traditional sense. And she had no idea they even had corporal punishment. So my bill this year says, look, if you're a school system that uses corporal punishment, you got to send home a note in the beginning of the school year and say, hey, we use this. Mm-hmm. Do you want to opt in or opt out for your child? And you check off that piece of paper, sign it, send it back in, and that kind of establishes it for that school year for that child. So the parent's in the driver's seat of that decision and knows what's happening in the school, and so they can make an informed decision.
Has that passed? I'm a little bit confused about the status of it. Where is it now?
It's passed. It has passed. So it's going to be going to the governor for signature. Yeah.
And he's going to sign it, right?
I would assume so.
Okay.
But I haven't heard anything definitive.
Give me some other thoughts that you have on the session and some things that have your attention and that you want to see done.
Yeah, so I think, you know, what a lot of us have been hearing is that, well, actually, I wanted to follow up with one thing we discussed on our last call. I was just mm-hmm. thinking through that this morning. The bill, and this passed yesterday, so this was kind of hot off the press, the bill to look at fourth graders and their reading and basically create a stopping point to make sure that our children are literate as they go through the system.
Yeah, go back and refresh us on that, please, Representative, if you will.
Yeah, so that's a bill by Rep. Richard Nelson out of the Mandeville area, and this is actually modeled off of a Mississippi program. In case you haven't been following, you know, literacy across the country, but Mississippi has actually made great strides mm-hmm. in getting their kids reading, and that is foundational to everything that comes next, right? Whether it's, you know, just reading a book or reading instructions or you know, even reading math problems. I mean, math is really tied into reading, right? And so Mississippi looked at everything and is actually going back to like a phonics-based approach, which a lot of us learned on. And I think the educational systems, they kind of some of them had looked at some other models, but they're getting back to that fundamental, foundational phonics method. And basically what would happen is in third grade, they'll test the students to make sure that they can read. And they give them multiple chances at this test and even kind of a summer intensive to see if they can get that child reading at grade level. And if not, then they'll go back to third grade to do it again to make sure that child leaves third grade and is reading.
You have younger children, don't you?
I do. Mm-hmm.
Mine is 26, so I don't remember, honestly. And I remember, you know, the way I was taught to read. What is the other way besides phonetics?
There was something called the sign. I might be messing this up. So I think it was similar. It was kind of a look at the word, try to recognize it. There's pictures on the page. So you're kind of looking for context clues as it relates to that page in the book. So, okay, you see a D, you see a picture of a puppy on the page. Okay, well, maybe that's a dog, that sort of thing. And look, I think there's an element of that that kids will kind of intuitively do, you know, if you've ever read a book with a kid.
Well, yeah, if you're illiterate, you would do that too, right? I'm not trying to be smart. I'm just saying, if you're illiterate, that's what you would do. You would look for context versus, or common letters or something like that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Which has a place, but I think it was being heavily relied on versus the, you know, old, you know, D-O-G, I'm going to sound out a D, I'm going to sound out an O, I'm going to sound out a G and spell dog. And so getting back to phonics and you know, Mississippi's really, they're showing what can be done when everyone's pulling in the same direction using sound principles. And a piece of their, it wasn't just this third grade intensive reading to make sure everyone's reading by third grade, but a piece of it was kind of putting a little speed bump in third grade to say, okay, let's make sure you can read at grade level at this time. You know, and third grade was the grade they landed on. And so this bill went through the Senate yesterday and passed.
It's sad that we're trailing Mississippi, and I guess what I'm wondering now is, so what happens if, let me take a break, because we're running a little bit late on time here. We're talking to Representative Stephanie Hilferty, and reading is just everything when it comes to kids and education is just everything if we ever hope to get from last place in Louisiana. So we'll pick it up here when we come back about the bill that she said that passed, and we'll talk about the mechanics of what happens, who gets tested when, and then what happens from there in third grade. And I know my grown child, 26, is a teacher in northwestern Louisiana in third grade, and she gets some third graders sometimes that are just completely and totally illiterate, can't even begin to read, and it's like, well, what do you do? 7:51, 9 till 8, traffic now, WWL. 7:56, 4 till 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Representative Stephanie Hilferty about, I believe, HB 12, correct?
Correct, right. Yeah. Rep. Nelson's HB 12. So I just looked up the details. So the student would take the test in April of the school year.
In third grade?
In third grade. Okay. If they did not pass, they would have a chance. They would get some intensive reading coaching, and they would have another chance a month later. If they, again, you know, failed the test, they would have the opportunity to go over the summer and do like a reading intensive and then take it one last time at the end of the summer ahead of that fourth, you know, ahead of the next school year. So there's multiple, it's not a, you know, I had, you know, the child maybe has one bad day or something like that. So they've got multiple chances. And then they also get a lot of, and this is the most important part, right? Tutoring and intensive reading training, you know, after that, you know, if they fail the test.
Is that too late though? Because I know what my kid tells me teaching third grade, that what do you do with a third grader that has no fundamentals, that just can't read? And I don't know if people realize the challenge that presents, but it seems like, and again, Stephanie, that's why I asked about you having younger kids, because I don't really remember the time frame, but I believe that you're reading before, like in first and second grade, you're reading, right?
Oh, no, you're correct. Yeah, I mean, kindergarten, first grade, that's really when you want to have those fundamentals down. And your daughter knows this really well as well. But I think the decision was made that you have to put, at some point, you have to stop and assess and say, okay, can this child read? Mm-hmm. And it's hard to pick the exact grade. And Mississippi landed on third grade, and there's been some research to show how that's worked. So that is why we adopted the third grade rule. And there was even pushback to that. A lot of people saying that, you know, understandably, nobody wants to see a child have to repeat a grade. So there's some consternation, especially over in the Senate during their debate yesterday.
Can you make up that much ground? And look, something's better than nothing. I understand that. I'm just wondering who would push back against this, or was the pushback? Go ahead.
So there's 2 years to implement it. And it also comes with that change, as I mentioned before, and how we're teaching reading and getting back to the phonics-based approach. So hopefully, and it's not going to happen overnight, right? But hopefully you have the children that are getting to your daughter who's teaching third grade, right? Mm-hmm. That are reading at a higher level, that have better reading skills, that have more tools in their tool belt to help them to read.
She's getting kids that can't read at all.
Yeah.
And that, I just don't know how you can make up that much ground in the summertime with a program, can you? And look, again, I'm not criticizing you. Something is better than nothing. I just wonder who would push back against this. And go ahead.
It's a good point. It's because it's a lot of ground to make up. And to your point, I mean, this all starts when they're babies, right? And you're showing them letters and making the sounds. And then as you progress through preschool and they're identifying their ABCs, I mean, reading is not something that happens overnight. It's foundational, and it's a team effort between, the parents at home and the teacher at school. And by no means do we want to make this seem as though this is all on the teachers, because they're doing an awesome job. It's everyone that's around that child, making sure that they can get up to reading level.
Appreciate your time. I really do, Representative. Have a good day in Baton Rouge. God bless y'all.
Thank you.
You bet.
Appreciate
Representative Stephanie Hilferty. We'll come back, talk to Rafael Goyeneche about crime. Murder reached over 100 murders last week. Back in a flash, WWL.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.